Welcome to the Fully Express podcast.
We are your hosts, Samantha and Karenna.
This is a show where we invite you into your fullest expressed self in life, relationships, and business. We believe that if you crave more, you are meant for more. There is room for all of us to be fully expressed.
Along with the show, we've created a virtual community to connect you with fellow listeners. Make sure to check out the Fully Expressed community membership. You'll find the link to join in the show notes and on our website.
So excited to see you there.
Enjoy this new episode. We are so excited to bring to you today a live panel discussion that we had at our event when we relaunched the Fully Expressed podcast that was once Karenna and is now Karenna and Samantha. We are so excited. We had an amazing guest, and a lot of the feedback that we got from the community was that they love watching and listening to live panel discussions. And so we had such a wonderful guest with us.
Yeah, her name is Erin Nicole Porter. So Erin Nicole Porter is a business mentor, somatic coach, master practitioner, trainer of NLP, hypnosis, and the host of the Energetics of Business podcast. What we loved about this discussion is that we really talked about the art of being seen and what does it really mean to be seen in your fullest expression, talking about the journey, the different blocks that may arise, and really defining that so you can truly start to step into your fullest expressed self.
She gave amazing tips and tools to actually integrate and do the work to get you to a place where you can allow yourself to show up more fully in every area.
Yeah, I really loved it. And I think a part of the interview that I loved so much was that she genuinely had really solid responses. I think sometimes you hear a lot of things and you're like fluff and you're like, well, what does it actually mean? Or how do you actually do that? And she so beautifully did that in front of the entire live audience that was at the podcast party. And at the end, also the guests had the opportunity to ask her questions live. And you're going to get to hear that today too.
Yeah. And we had the best feedback from this live episode panel. It was amazing.
Yeah. So much that we really do want to keep doing these. So as a part of our growth for the podcast and our opportunity is that we really want to sprinkle in these like live podcast interview discussions and invite you to be a part of the room as well. So you can one, grow in real time. The energies in those rooms are just transformative. The kinds of women that are not even women, women and men that are also in those rooms are also on this growth path. So the connections are incredible, but then you get to ask something really live. And so really hopefully take away something that really meets you where you're at, which I think is so important. Sometimes you hear speakers and you're like, I get it, but like this is still coming up for me. And so creating these spaces is really important to Samantha and I. So go ahead and tune in, have fun. If you love the episode and if you want to be a part of an event like this in the future, send us a DM on Instagram at the Fully Express Podcast and we'll make sure to invite you at the next one.
Yes. And in the meantime, enjoy this discussion.
Yeah. Have so much fun.
Mwah.
Mwah. All right. So I'm so excited to introduce you to our podcast guest that we get to have. Her name is Erin Porter. Erin Porter is a somatic and business coach. She talks so much about the energetics of business, and we're really going to be talking a lot about what it is, the art of being seen. There's so much that comes to that, like really looking to what does it go from fear to fully expressed to really bringing yourself, all of you. And so can we all give Erin a warm welcome by clapping and doing
much? It is so much. I see they survey up here. Yay!
Hi, everyone. My name is Erin. I am a business coach and also a somatic practitioner as well. So a big part of my business is training people. I have a board-accredited life coaching training company that I started back in 2012 in the online space and network marketing. I transitioned as a health and fitness coach for many years and then went into business coaching and went through my own journey of lots of burnout for a long period of time. People pleasing, all of the things which led to that, and really found myself in a journey of I wanted to keep scaling in my business. And I kept thinking, you know, the next strategy, the next thing was going to be the thing that would change everything. And so as I was running and chasing every next income milestone, I was burning out, or I would get it. And then the next month I'd be like down to nothing again. And I'm like, okay, something here is happening and I'm the common denominator in that. And so that launched me into learning and studying and now training in clinical hypnotherapy, somatic experiencing. I do attachment repair work, also called stick work with clients. So I love the depth of learning, all of that work, and then also applying that to helping people build their businesses with a very regulated nervous system and finding strategies that actually align for them that they can sustain, because I know what it's like to ride the roller coaster and wanting to not always be on that roller coaster.
Thank you so much for being here. You can see there's a theme to somatics. I swear it's not me. I'm also a trauma-informed somatic practitioner, but we talk about so much about somatics, but I think the nervous system is such an important piece to life and really embodying it and being your body and what that actually means. Because I think for so much of us, so many of us are living in our minds. We're thinking so much. We think our way through things. We think that we can fix overthinking with more thinking. And the truth is that there's so much going on in our bodies and our experience. So I just love that you're talking about this and that you're bringing this. I really want to dive into, what was it like to start to put yourself out there? I think you did network marketing before this, or fitness, and is that fair?
Yeah.
So what was it like to put yourself out there in your business? What was it like to really step into, whether that is virtually or online? What did that look like for you?
Yeah. So like back in the beginning days, this was like before Facebook Live was even a thing. And, you know, you're just starting to put yourself out there. And then as it evolved over time, it was scary because there's a lot of the fear of judgment, the fear of being misunderstood. I had a master's degree in education, so I worked for a dean of students. That's what I wanted to do. And I remember as I was leaving that job back in 2000, I graduated with my master's in 2015. I left to go full-time in my business in 2016. And everyone's like, "What? Like, why are you leaving the field? Like, you're so great at what you do." And I just kept having that pull, but a lot of people didn't understand. You know, they didn't understand, why are you going to do this work? How are you going to make an income? Is this, why aren't you going to have insurance? You know, all of the things that people kind of project onto you. And that journey kept going and going as I was growing, because I would expand into something new or show up in a bigger way or make a bigger commitment to myself. And every time that I did that, I feel like it came with a lot of celebration, but it also came with a lot of, you know, projections and misunderstandings. And you just have to kind of keep allowing yourself to move forward into that.
So
what were some of the things that you did in those moments where that discomfort came up, or where you were facing, say, like a family member or someone who was questioning your choices, or as we said, like, you're not going to have health insurance, or where's your 401k, or all these things? Like, what were some of the things you did, and what was it that really helped you propel forward even in the face of that adversity?
Yeah. So I say back before I started doing, because I didn't find a lot of this work until about like 2017. That is when I started more of the journey, when I was working with a coach and found my inner child at that point in time. And, you know, that opened up the whole can of worms. And in the beginning, it was kind of like, oh, I'm going to prove to you that I can do this. And so I was still running in that old energy of, I'll just prove to you that I can make it work, and I'll just keep hustling and forcing and going. And then I realized, okay, well, that did bring success to some point, because I was trying to show everybody around me that I could do it, but that didn't sustain. And so I was like, okay, now we're going to evolve into the next chapter of my business and kind of go to the next place that I wanted to go to at the time. And I was like, I can't build this next chapter of my business. This was back in like 2018, from that same energy, because it's not going to last. It's going to go right back down to where it was before. So things that had helped me at that time, a lot of subconscious reprogramming, which led me to a lot of the nervous system work and attachment work, had been a big thing that helped me. But it was kind of in different chapters where I was like, okay, well, I'm just going to overdrive myself, because that's what I knew to, you know, do to be successful. And then I was like, okay, got to shift this and figure out a new way.
Who else here can like relate to like pushing yourself through? I'm going to put my overdrive. I'm going to prove to everyone that I can fucking do it. I see almost everyone's hand in here. I relate to that really deeply too, because, you know, when I first started my business, I was like, well, I know all these people think this or could be thinking these things of me, but I'm going to show them differently. And I love that you said that it's not sustainable. What do you mean that it's not sustainable?
So I feel like you're operating from a part of you versus operating from your true self. So I heard someone say something about parts work earlier, and one of my mentors, she described it to me like, you don't just have an inner child, you have an inner orphanage that lives within you. And all of your parts run all of these different strategies that they're trying to figure out in order to get you safety. And so if you're operating your business or your life through the lens of that little one that's trying to get a need met, you're always going to be searching for your business or your life or your career or your relationship to validate that unmet need that's inside of you. And so that's why I was like, well, if it's just a little one that's running a business, how am I going to be able to sustain that versus operating from more of what's my true
I think if you don't have a business in here, because I think not everyone is a business, but you can see this show up in your life in general, right? Like you could see these parts of you just kind of run the show. And if you start to pay attention to the different parts of you and can see them, how they're running the show, you can be like, oh, that's the little me that's trying to keep me safe right now. How have I not, you know, I get that. So how do you get from a place of like, I see you keeping me safe and what can I do now? You know what I mean? Like, I think there's also this awareness, like we can all become aware and be like, oh, I know that's a perfectionist part of me. I know that's a part of me that's trying to keep me safe. But where do we go from like, I'm aware of it to like, how do I actually make that part of me feel safe without actually acting on that part running the show?
Yeah, good question. I mean, you brought up the first great step, which is the awareness. So when we are identified with a part, we usually can't tell that we're operating from the lens of that until we have somebody in beautiful spaces like this or mentors that are able to mirror that and be able to help us kind of disidentify from that part. So that's always the first step of once you start to separate yourself from the like ego protector state and operating from your truth or from whatever that is for you, or the healthy adult is usually what I call it with clients. That's kind of the first step. And then there's going to be times where you still operate from that old place. Like we're not perfect. I think what a lot of high achieving people do, whether it's in business, relationships, career, is they turn their healing journey into an achievement journey. It's like, okay, well, if I can just heal enough of me, if I can just heal enough of my money mindset, I can just heal enough of my relationship things, then I'll get the thing that I want. And that's what I always tell people to be so careful of, because you don't want to turn this into a fishing fixing expedition. You just want to start to know that like there's going to be times where you're still going to operate from that part and you're going to have to repair. So you're going to have ruptures with the people around you, with your business, with your career, with your relationship. It's about repairing, not trying to get it right. It's like, oops, I operated from my inner child that was trying to get a need met. I'm going to recenter myself, re-regulate, give myself a pause, a break, not go into a shame spiral. Now let me move from this place again. And the bounce back time is really what you're looking for. You're not looking for perfection. You're looking at, okay, last time I did this, this took me out for a week or a couple of days. Now it's taking me out for maybe an hour, but I'm coming back quicker. That's the goal of all of that work.
Yeah, and it sounds like you're saying these are all tools to help you come back into exactly what we were talking about, which is the present moment. Instead of like, I'm healing. So it's always out. Like we're really good at putting everything outside of ourselves instead of inward. And I love that because that makes so much sense. With somatic work, what I've learned is that it's really about coming back to the body. And so in terms of your business, like how did that help you go from playing small to playing big? Because I think that, you know, when we're first starting a job, and we start to build that skill set, like we seem to reach a place where it feels really scary to go to that big leap, right? We get to a place of comfort and then we kind of are like, all right, I'm good here. But really we want to play bigger. So what did that look like for you? And how did you make that leap into really like believing in yourself and getting to that place of believing that you would get to greater success?
Yeah, I think a lot of it was being around great people that could actually hold that for me, because I was working on building that unwavering energy within myself. And sometimes we waver a lot more than maybe we want to, but we need groups, communities to be able to hold us in that or help us see that potential. And one other thing that I think is helpful too is, again, I've done this in different iterations. I can kind of speak to like what maybe didn't work and also what did work. Always have been a huge risk taker. I'm like, I will burn the boats. I'll do whatever I have to do in order to get to that next place. And then I realized, I'm like, okay, that also kind of validates that breakdown, the breakthrough story that I would always have of like needing to go all the way one way to go all the way the other way. So I had to start to be really careful that I wasn't like recreating that versus moving from more of like a titrated approach. So it's like if you're wanting to step into being seen more, instead of maybe in the past you have been really good at burning all the bridges, doing all of that, can there be a way where you open a little bit more, find safety there, and doing it in a way where you can actually sustain the growth that you have versus I think a lot of us just want to like be at the end or be at that final result and then our bodies aren't quite ready to fold it and have it. So I feel like the titration piece is big.
That makes so much sense, like step by step. Instead of focusing on the end only.
Yeah.
And why am I not there? Yeah, I love that.
I was going to say, just to add to that, I think we all want to go really, really quickly. And I think personally, is somatics. When I did my certification, that was the biggest gift of going slow. But slow is really hard. Can you like break down the parts of what it actually means to go slow? So how does it feel in your body to go slower when you're, instead of you really want to go fast, you're like, oh, I should do a little step here and then see what that feels like. Because in this, I feel like we're also creating more capacity in our nervous system to actually hold the big something. Because when we want to be seen more, we can put ourselves out there really quickly. And then all of a sudden we have a vulnerability shock and we're like, oh my gosh, I just showed everyone all this. I'm not even on board with all these things. Like everything catches up to you. So I feel like the step-by-step, the piece-by-piece also creates capacity in your nervous system. Can you break that down for them?
Yeah. So I think the biggest thing with that is we have to know that you actually have to take in the good and the well-being and what is happening. Because we have parts and a lot of us can probably resonate with like the core wound of not enoughness, right? Like, okay, not good enough, not doing enough. And so it is harder what sometimes it feels like when it's slow because we're used to quit or we're used to that validation. And what I always remind people of is on your journey for things being more sustainable, if you will, when it feels slow and feels when you feel like there's a lot of discomfort, one, you have to presence that discomfort and notice, okay, when I feel discomfort, where do I tend to go? What do I tend to do? Do I avoid? What are my, I think we were talking about coping strategies earlier, that we're really, really good at avoiding discomfort when we're feeling that. It's like societally, we're not programmed to feel safe to be in the slowness. That brings up a lot of whatever programming that we have. And simultaneously, what I always remind people of is you actually know how to digest the good, because a lot of the times we can only see the good or the big thing when the huge milestone that we hit has finally come in. And we look at it, we're like, okay, now I finally got the thing. But to build sustainably and to build with that slowness and that connection and that pacing over time means being able to take in something that's been good that's happening and actually let your body feel that it's safe to receive that too.
Feeling safe to receive, what does that mean?
Yeah. So how I always break it down is you can receive in four different categories. You can receive from self, you can receive from other, you can receive from group, and you can receive from source, God, universe, divine, whatever it is that you connect into. Everybody has a place where they rest easily, and then everybody has an edge as well. So for some of you, you feel really safe receiving from you, but receiving intimately with one other person, that's your edge. For some of you, you're like, oh, I feel really safe to receive and let a group hold me. But receiving from myself, I'm always needing that external person or that group to validate me. And so receiving is, again, being able to actually take in, hold more of that well-being, hold more of that goodness, but also knowing where do you have edges and where can you actually rest into deeper.
I love that too, because I feel that, like, especially as an entrepreneur, it's so easy to focus only on the end result. And really, when you think of the milestones, at least for me in my life, it's really the journey that is where the appreciation is, not actually getting the thing that I thought I wanted. And I feel like that is a beautiful reminder of that, that like, if we're always focusing on the end result or the goal, we forget that really it's about the journey, not the destination. And that's why I think our brains always want a goal. We always want to be working for something. We're always wanting to achieve. And then we can get caught up in the wanting to achieve versus experiencing the whole process and taking the whole process in.
I want to pull back the layer a little bit more on receiving, especially receiving in life or just business. How you kind of talked about group and things like that, but what are some other, like the first thing I think about, like receiving help, right? Who here loves to give help? Say, hey, help me. How do I do this? Like, I can do everything for you, but have you to receive help? What does that also look like on the journey of being seen? Like, how can you receive in other ways that support you playing bigger? Whether that is in life, relationships, or business.
So how do you receive as you're kind of expanding in that way? So I feel like you have to practice being able to actually take it in, because I think often we want more and more. Like, we want to open up to receiving more. A lot of times our bodies aren't quite ready maybe to do that, or our mind thinks that we are, but our nervous systems have to kind of get on board with that as well. Or maybe your systems on the back end have to be ready for that. And how I always look at it is it's like kind of like a dial. If you imagine like in your body, when you're opening up to receive and be more visible, be more expressed, put yourself out there, you're going to have a little dial in your system and you're going to turn up that dial. A lot of the times what we do is we're like, okay, well, I want 10x that dial. And that's not necessarily a bad thing. I've seen it with myself, clients, friends, that they turn up that dial to 10x. It all comes in and then their nervous system kind of shoots out because they weren't quite ready to fold it. And so if you think of that dial, how I kind of play with it, almost it's like a practice, if you will. It's like I imagine if there's a dial in me and I'm opening up to expressing myself more, being in a room with more people, holding more people in a program, folding more love in a relationship, whatever that might be, I start to notice where does that dial edge start to get a little wonky, if you will. And yes, that's the things that sound like, what's happening here? What are the stories that come up at that point in time? Is it me feeling like I need to do more in order to receive that? Is it me that I have to work harder, that I have to self-abandon, that I got to have everything is great and awesome and fine on my face because I can't let people see that whatever this, you know, the story is. And then I always look at what's happening there. And I find a lot of safety in that place first. I'm working the parts, finding the safety in the body, and then turning it up again and noticing what's there at the next level. Because there's always going to be a place that you're wanting to open up more into, and there's going to be edges with that. And so I'm big with looking at what's good, but also looking at your edges too.
So can you expand on that a little bit? Because I think that when we hit our edge, oftentimes that fear drags us back or we get to a place where we're like, well, maybe that's not for me because it should feel easier. It should feel more comfortable, or I'll just stay where I am. So how can you actually, so you turn the dial, you find that place where you meet that edge. What do you do physically, or what are some practices that you actually implement to help you be able to push past that and kind of move the dial up a little bit?
Yeah, I mean, there's lots of great like embodiment-based practices. So EFT, breath work, hypnotherapy, all great things. But for me, I really like to get silent and just presence and be with what's happening in my body and starting to notice the sensations versus just trying to think my way out of how to feel better or how to hold more. So if I kind of have, what I like to do is like think of like a map, right? You have a map, you have a toolbox of your sensations in your body. And over time, you kind of know when you start to get that fluttery feeling in your heart that, okay, something's popping up here. And so I like to track all of those different things. So that way, when they come up, I actually have a name to be able to put to that thing that's happening in the body and have some of those emotional responses as data and feedback. And you have to practice being with discomfort. I think the moment that we feel discomfort, when we're wanting to push past our edge, be seen more, put ourselves out there more, our protectors decide to run and they're like, no, keep you safe. And if you don't work with that protector, so your protector is kind of like that part of you that has an operating strategy and they're going, be safe, just find safety, pull back, don't do this thing. And the biggest thing that you can also do too, outside of some of those practices, is being able to bring reassurance to that protector. So something that I had studied and learned and received in attachment work was really understanding that protectors need reassurance. And so you're going to have like an inner dialogue with that part of you, with that protector that's running that strategy and helping them see, again, going back to the healthy adult, that that's there with them. So that's always the practice. And I think our safety gets kicked up a lot in when we're going into those new places too. I love like simple practices like arriving, orienting into safety. Like I'm constantly doing that. Because otherwise our bodies think that we're running from tigers, even though we're just making a next move in our life.
Something that I thought about too, with a part of the journey of being seen, like let's say you're putting yourself seen to go meet someone, you're dating, you're putting yourself out there. You start putting yourself out there in your business. You start putting yourself out there in life. And then someone doesn't respond well. What do you do?
Yeah, this is a good one. Because I think there's a difference between maybe random people that you don't know very well not maybe liking you or accepting you. And that's one thing. I think, you know, a troll on the internet is one thing, or someone that's like very, very distant to you. And you're like, okay, like, yes, there's a projection, but I think that there's a different level when it's maybe someone that's very close to you. And I've experienced that in growth where people that I was very close with for a long period of time weren't coming with me on that next chapter. And one of my mentors always said to me, it's like your rocket ship can't keep coming back down to planet Earth to try to get people to come along with you to that next place. And that's really hard as a recovering people pleaser. And you have to be okay with being misunderstood, with being judged. And something that if any of you are familiar with in human design, the vibe line has a lot of projections on it. I'm a 3-5 in human design. And one of the big things, and I think everyone can relate to this regardless of human design or different things, is that people will put a lot of projections onto you. You might have benefited from
being and operating in a way where you've fulfilled those projections in the past. And then the moment that you no longer do that, or you do what's best for you because you're no longer self-abandoning, not everybody comes along with you on that journey. And so we go back to that discomfort of actually being misunderstood, being okay with being in your truth versus always just leaving and going for the other.
Wow, so much.
You know,
that's like a teaser. In that process, let's say though someone, because I'm there, this might happen to anyone here in life. Let's say someone does come at you. Maybe there are trolls online. Maybe you're really sensitive to that. How can someone build resilience to combating that in their nervous system or in their body?
Yeah, great, great question. I'll kind of give like real life examples. So I went through this really big about 18 months ago, where I had a lot of people that were very close to me, and then kind of went through that betrayal hardship moment. And I had prepared my nervous system, right? Because I had been wanting to hold more, wanting to step into more. So of course that comes with not everyone's going to like you, which again is like a shot to the heart. If you know when you're like, I keep seeing everybody happy. But also being able to find your truth. And that's the biggest thing. I was just telling a client about this today because she was navigating a lot with it, just helping other clients, being a leader in her community. And she's like, I feel like I just can't make everybody happy. Like no matter what I say, no matter how I show up, somebody's upset with the way that I'm doing that. And so I said to her, I'm like, what's your truth in it? Because some of it was just projections that were coming on to her and people hadn't even like asked what her thoughts were on something. And so I said, make a list of what your truth is. And if you can be so rooted in your truth, no matter what somebody is bringing to you, sure, it's still going to rock you, but you have to digest that. You have to kind of somatically process and discharge those things, whether that's in connection with somebody or doing different practices. But I think what I have found in that journey is that if I was so anchored into my truth and knowing what it is that I'm here to do, where it is that I'm going, no matter what somebody said, thought, couldn't rock me as much. And I learned that I actually wasn't as solid in my truth before that. Because any time that someone would come at me, I'd be like, well, let me fix this. Let me make this be okay. And then I lost myself and I lost, you know, kind of an offering that I had because I ended up trying to make it be happy for everybody else except for me.
Something that you said in that is that you find your truth in that, but you're also digesting the experiences, which I think sometimes you can tell yourself like, oh, I'm not going to care right now. They're just throwing projections onto me. It doesn't mean anything to me. They're just, you know, blah, blah, blah. We kind of make it about them, but we also forget to digest the experience for ourselves. And I just want to highlight that because I think that's also an important part of the process to build capacity in your nervous system is the digesting of what's actually happening in your experience, even if you can still hold your truth. It's a yes and, it's not either or.
Correct. And I think that's a big thing that people will tell you like, oh, just brush it off. Like, don't take it in. And it's like, it's impossible to not have impact in your system. And if you just take in that impact and you don't, I always imagine it to get like a visual. It's like, imagine like one part of your body is your truth and the other side is you taking in those projections. You have to take them in, process them, move through the anger, sadness, fear, hurt, guilt, whatever that is. Work through those emotions versus just trying to stop it. Because I think then what happens is we get kind of frozen or we feel like we're combating constantly whatever those things are. So I always tell people, take it in, but take it in from a different lens. And that different lens is letting your truth and your safety hold that projection and process it in connection with somebody and then rest into your truth.
Yeah. And tying that into what everything you've shared, those are the moments, I think, if you would agree, where we tend to go back. We tend to like when we get triggered, or even if we're not triggered, but we're in the shame or the guilt or the fear, we want to people please. I feel those are the moments where sometimes we go, well, I just won't do it, or I just won't hold my truth, or I'll compromise. But then it's doing, as you're saying, like a disservice to your nervous system as well. So in that, how in those moments, like with the friendship, maybe you can share a little of like what came on the other side, because I have had a similar situation and I've talked about it on the podcast of kind of losing a friend group when I started to stand in my truth. So what have you done, or what are some ways that you've worked, like walked yourself that through that path and moved beyond it and moved beyond like the shame and the guilt and the fear? Like, how did you work on that as a people pleaser recovery?
Yeah. It was great because it showed me everywhere that I was wobbling. And I think as leaders, whether that's in your family dynamic, whether that's in your business, you're going to see in those moments where you have an opportunity for growth.
And so, yeah, you can go backwards in that, or you can go, okay, where am I maybe not as solid in my leadership that I get to really root into? I think those moments are often wake-up calls to have kind of an evaluation of everything that you're doing. I come back a lot to values. One question you can ask yourself to kind of elicit your values is, what's important to you about blank? What's important to you about your business? What's important to you about your relationship? And so I went through kind of my top values, support, integrity, inclusivity. And I was like, where am I self-abandoning these values? Where am I trying to, based on what has happened to me, make somebody happy and going through and understanding, like, why is that actually important to me? And am I living by that? And I saw places where I was wavering, and also had a lot of mentors that helped me process through everything and get ready to hold more of it. Because I kind of knew, I think unconsciously, we know if you're meant to do something big in the world, or you're meant to have the dream that you have, that you're going to have to go through some of those moments. Like when the butterfly goes into the caterpillar, or before it's the butterfly into the caterpillar and the goop, and it's like half the wing is up, but not the full wings are out. It's not the butterfly yet. Like, those times are really hard, but that's where you develop that resiliency. So instead of me going into an old place, which would have been looking at the situation from like, I didn't do enough, I need to do more, I'm like, what if instead I don't go into old programming of just trying to like effort my way out of this? What happens if I just open into the experience? I just keep opening and opening and opening into whatever this is going to teach me, even though it did get harder after that. I think sometimes we forget that just when you have one hump to get over doesn't mean that there isn't going to be another, but it didn't create a story around it. I think that's where our minds come in and override our bodies, as we start to make it mean something about who we can or can't be, what we can or can't have. And that ends up being where we get into that deeper spiral.
Can we do a mic drop? Because that's so serious, right? I think so many of us are always constantly making stories of something. We're trying to find reason for what is happening, to find a way for our ego to compare ourselves to something, or try to say, well, if I could fix this one thing, I can make it just a little bit better. But what you're talking to so much is actually just being in the experience and being it.
Yeah.
And opening up yourself more to it.
Mm-hmm.
And there's a sense of an attachment in that, but also like a surrender and a trust. Like you're letting go of control. Essentially.
Yeah, absolutely. And in the past, what I would have done is like, let me make this better. Let me fix this. And I was like, that my opening to my experience, just be really transparent, was like, let me lose hundreds of thousands of dollars in 24 hours and just be okay.
Yeah.
Be with that. Like, how was that? That was terrifying. And it did not feel good, but it was just like, okay, if I'm going to be with this experience, I'm going to open up into letting everything go that needs to let go. Because obviously I was unconsciously hiding things, like holding things in, like not being in my truth. And so I think what we try to do is we're like, let me control this. Let me try to fix this. Let me try to make everything better, versus like, okay, let me just open and keep opening and keep opening and be with the discomfort and learn how to rebuild that. So then like now, anytime that something comes up for me, I'm like, oh, all right, this is just part of the process. I can try to control it, or I can just be with it.
One thing I want to say too is we also try to manage it. Right. So maybe we know that we're going to get to where we need to get to. And we're like, I'll get to that experience eventually. We're like, I'm going to do it this way and then this way and then cheat it this way. And then I'll get there. Right. Like we like tell ourselves that like, I'm going to let myself feel that experience, but I'm going to manage the way that I feel that experience, which takes it away from actually feeling the experience or anxiety.
I was just going to say, I feel like you're describing how you build resilience as well.
Yeah.
And that maybe, is it fair to say that, you know, I think in our experience too, the more risks you take, the more you push yourself out of your comfort zone, the less scary it is, the less it gets easier. Even when it's like losing $100,000 or losing something massive, you're just like, okay, I did it. I experienced it. Let me keep going. I can make it through this. I can make it through anything. Is that fair?
Yeah. I'm like, all right. Like, well, because the other thing too is like, I think sometimes we try to control having all of our worst fears not come true. And we do a really good job at that. And of course, many different things that I experienced in a lot of situations were some of my worst fears. And I was kind of like trying so hard not to have certain things happen, but I needed them. Like I wouldn't be here. I wouldn't be in the next evolution of leadership if not. So it's like, just let it teach you. Like I've had to remind myself, I'm like, you didn't die. Like you lived, you know, you lived through it, but your body feels like it in those moments. And yeah, they are the teaching moments. Like back then, I wouldn't be able to say, okay, 18 months later, sitting here, being able to share that, because it brought up so much. And
know, there are times I moved from old parts of me and did it feel good and responded, but that's the depth of this work and why I say it takes repetitions over time is because you need those little doses of the well-being of working through all of this. And then it compounds in those moments when you need it.
I love that.
Well, thank you. Is there anything else you want to share then before I turn it to you?
Yeah, I think the biggest thing is just allow yourself to be with the unfolding of receiving, the unfolding of taking everything in. And I know a lot of us are on a healing journey, and I kind of alluded to this earlier, but make sure that you don't look at yourself from the lens that got you here. And when I say that is a lot of the times we look at where we want to go next from the lens of not enoughness. And sometimes it's really, really subtle, those glasses that we have on. And so we try to go to the next places, but we're still operating from that lens of, okay, well, if I just get this, then it'll be enough. Or, okay, well, if I'm opening here, it's like, where can you rest into? Like, what's really, really good right now? Where do you feel full? Where do you feel whole? Where do you feel enough? And then practice opening from that place versus opening from where you're not at yet.
Yeah, like gratitude practice. Yeah, I love that. So we end wrapping up. We end every episode by asking our guests the same question, which is, where do you feel like the next evolution of you is? Where do you feel like you're ready to like express yourself more fully in your life? It could be any area.
I love this. I think in terms of like business, I'm really stepping into more writing and more thought leadership. The last couple of years, been doing a lot of speaking, and I'm starting on my second book, which is called Safe to Receive. So, great timing with everything. But really being like unapologetic and being in my truth. And while I'm very like soft in the energy, I also have a lot of fire. And so I've been working on, okay, really speaking from that fire, letting that out more and more over the last year. So that's really where I'm harnessing all of that and moving into next is just letting that bigness be there, whether that's in relationships, business, writing, any of those things.
So beautiful. Well, thank you so much for being here. I share with them all of that. This is also going to be on the podcast. So for anyone that's listening virtually or you're in your car or somewhere, where can someone find you or connect with you?
Yeah. And Erin Nicole Coaching on Instagram, the Energetics of Business podcast. Those are the main places.
Thank you. Can we give her a warm applause? And thank you.
Wow. That was just such an incredible live interview with Erin. It was so nice to have her at our podcast relaunch party and birthday party. We love doing these live interviews. If you're local to SoCal, please check them out whenever they come available. As a part of the live interview, we also had the opportunity for the actual audience to come up and ask real questions and Erin be able to give answers back live. We're going to be dropping that specific part of the live interview discussion next week. So make sure you keep a lookout for what's coming next week. These questions are pure gold. They are so supportive, and I really think that you'll get something out of it. I'm so grateful that the audience stepped up and had the courage to ask these questions. They're just so freaking good, and we cannot wait for you to listen to them.
Thank you so much for tuning in. We really appreciate you being here. If you enjoyed this episode, we'd be grateful if you could leave us a review and share it with a friend.
Also, we would love to hear from you. Reach out to us on Instagram and let us know where you feel inspired to express yourself as you embrace this next era. We are here to support you and encourage you.
See you on the next one.